The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com, and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence, and now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your Beyond Confidence radio show host. I'm so delighted to be with you again, and I am bringing you my friend and a great coach, Lisa Marie Pepe. She is a confidence coach and an online visibility coach. So Lisa Marie, please share about yourself.
Well, first off, thank you so much, Divya, for inviting me to be on your show. And thank you to the listeners as well. So just a little bit about me. I tapped into it just a bit when you introduced me. My name is Lisa Marie Pepe, and I am the confidence coach and online visibility expert for heart-centered women entrepreneurs. So essentially what I do in my coaching practice is I combine my experience and expertise in clinical psychology with my love and passion for social media and online visibility strategy to then empower the women that I work with to develop rock-solid confidence and to become vibrantly visible online. And I've been doing this now for about 2 years, and I absolutely love it. I truly do. I love everything about being able to be the light or the spark in another woman's life who's trying to get her online business up and running, and it's just a very rewarding and very, very fulfilling path that I'm on right now. So I'm incredibly blessed to be here as well. Thank you.
So this brings the question, what is it that made you decide to become a coach?
That's a great question. For me, I've always wanted to be in the helping professions. It's just part of like who I am as a person. It's in my nature. It's always been there. And after graduating college, I got my master's degree in education and worked very briefly in the public school systems, but didn't feel quite right, you know, in that sort of particular arena. So then I went on and got a master's degree in clinical psychology. And I worked briefly for a time, but I was doing some real, real heavy work. And that was in alcohol and drug detox counseling and trauma and, some real heavy stuff. And I got a bit burnt out from that and decided that I wanted to pursue a degree in massage therapy. And it was still a part of the helping field, and I was able to do it in a different way, though. So I got my license to practice massage therapy and was doing that for a couple of years when I had a car accident one day on the way home from work, and I was not able to go back to massage therapy, not then, not now, and that accident happened in 2011. Certainly changed my entire life. Now that I can look back on it, I can say for the better because of who I am and where I am as a coach right now. But that was sort of the driving force behind all of it. I I had to recreate and reinvent myself after I can no longer work in a quote-unquote, you know, normal job. So that's how I actually became a coach. At some point I said, okay, I've got to use my skills. I have these, you know, gifts and talents, and they're not being utilized. And so there you have it.
Yes, coaching is rewarding. And what you said, Lisa Marie, resonates so much within my heart as well, because when you coach someone, when you help someone, when you make a positive impact, it doesn't just have to be coaching. It can be helping somebody in your family. It could be helping someone who is your neighbor, part of the community. And when you help mm-hmm. someone, it does make you feel good. And there are mm-hmm. scientific studies out there that show that kindness has impact at the cellular level. And
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So talking about coaching, you have said that, you know, you really enjoy coaching heart-centered entrepreneurs. What is it about heart-centered entrepreneurs that attracts you?
Well, I think essentially, and I don't know if this is true for you, but at least for myself and some others that I've talked with, as a coach, our ideal clients are really a former version of ourselves. That's what I feel as though. I work with women now who are just beginning their online entrepreneurial journey, and I was there just a few years ago, right? So now I've now mastered certain skills and certain levels of, you know, experience, and now I teach them to other people. But for me, heart-centered means someone who is willing to tap into their unique gifts and talents to make the world a better place in some way, shape, or form. So oftentimes, you know, I work with women who are in the healing field. They're not all coaches necessarily. They can be, but they're not all. I work with, you know, I have a client now who is a nurse practitioner who's starting her own practice. So she left a hospital because she didn't want to deal with the politics of the hospital, and has decided to open her own practice to make it more affordable for more women and to include like holistic care. So, you know, it's funny. I've worked with women in a lot of different sectors and areas, and it's just heart-centered is someone who wants to make the world a better place and is willing, like I said, to tap into their unique gifts and talents to be able to then do that. Oftentimes the women are spiritual. They are, connected to a higher power of some kind. I know for me it's God, but for others they call, you know, whatever their higher power is, and that's fine. It's not like a prerequisite to work with me, but I certainly love working with women who are sort of on the same mission that I am.
And that definitely makes sense, Lisa Marie, when you say that these are people who don't want to deal with the politics because they are recognizing the unique strength within. And it is mm-hmm. so true. Once we get out of our way, mm-hmm. transformation happens. And yes, when transformation happens, the life is so changing. And then you can bring your gift to the world and help other people. And in today's world, there's so many people waiting out there to help, and that is fantastic what you're doing.
Thank you.
How did you go about developing your niche?
That's a great question, and I just had this conversation with a business contact earlier this morning. We were talking about how really do you fall into a particular niche, right? Because what I do is very specific. I work with women on mindset, and I work with women on online visibility strategy. Like, those are the two things that I focus on. Certainly I can do other things, but that's my niche, right? Like, that's exactly where my zone of genius is. And for me, it was definitely an evolutionary process. It didn't just happen. When I started on the entrepreneurial journey, I was actually intending to go into wellness coaching. And that's sort of where I was there for quite some time, but I wasn't really feeling, for me, it's about feeling like connection between my heart, my mind, my body, my spirit, all of that. It all has to sort of feel right. And I just wasn't feeling all of that. And so this was very early on when I first started, about 2.5 years ago. And then I wasn't gaining a lot of traction. And that's partially because I just wasn't sure about where I wanted to go and who I wanted to serve. So I worked with a coach to sort of help me narrow in a little bit more on, the more specific area. And confidence sort of came naturally because I myself have overcome, battles with myself, not feeling confident, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy and all of that. So that developed into the confidence piece of it. And then I have just naturally, in becoming an online entrepreneur, absorbed so much critical and valuable information in how to do things online as a business owner that second half of it just came sort of like organically. It was like, okay, so I can do confidence coaching and visibility strategy, right? And online, social media presence, that kind of thing. So that's essentially what happened, but it was about 2.5 years in the making. And so that's where I'm currently at. And I'm always open to learning and doing. So who knows where I'll be in another 2 years or 3 years. But right now, that's where the path has taken me.
Lisa Marie, every one of us goes through depths of pain and chasms of discomfort to be able to find what is really important in our life. And from what it sounds like, and of course, as I know, you have been through a lot. Would you be open to sharing a story through your journey where you were feeling lack of confidence and how you went from lack of confidence to being confident?
Yeah, absolutely. I am more than happy to share, because I feel like in sharing my story, I can help empower other people to know that they're not alone, that they're certainly, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And so if my journey and my story can help other people see that, then I'm more than happy to share. I'll go back to where sort of it all sort of unraveled for me, which was when I had my car accident. At that time, I was actually feeling pretty good about my life in general. I really loved massage therapy. I was very active at the time, just really loved everything that was a part of my life, right? I just got up naturally, went to work, went to the gym. Everything felt really good. And then when the car accident happened, it really threw me off badly, like physically, emotionally, spiritually, like everything. It wasn't just like a minor whiplash here and a little bit of this, and then I was fine. It really knocked me down. And I then became very depressed, and, along with the depression comes anxiety, and, it's a vicious cycle. And so what happened when I wasn't able to return to work, I just felt really lost. And because my confidence was so shaken at that time, I settled for really mundane, task-oriented jobs that were not fulfilling in any capacity whatsoever, jobs where I was not being treated kindly by my boss or anyone else, but for that matter, who I worked with, jobs that were paying me minimum wage. And this is despite having 2 master's degrees, despite having a wealth of knowledge, I didn't feel good about myself. And my decisions at that time reflected that. And I took a job as a telemarketer. I tell this story often because it's the truth. I was, I don't know, about 32 years old at the time when the car accident happened. And like I said, well-educated, you know, ton of accolades, accreditations, all this stuff. And it didn't matter. I didn't see my own self-worth. And so whatever came along, I just took, and I took a job for like $9 an hour, where I was mistreated. I was berated on the phone. And all that did was reinforce for me how badly I already felt about myself. And that was coupled with the shoulder and neck injury that I had gotten in the car accident, which was also an ongoing battle for quite some time. And I actually got fired from my telemarketing job. And I'll never forget, I sat in the car and I cried and I sobbed like a baby because I felt like it was the end of the world. And here I was, I mean, literally, right? I can look back on it now and laugh and think like, well, you did me a favor, really, because, you know, obviously, like, that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing with my life. But when I got fired at that time, you know, I felt really beside myself. And I got back on the horse and just started looking for jobs again. Mind you, not even ever considering going back into teaching or psychology or therapy or anything like that. I just thought, okay, well, I'll just get another job. And I wound up working at a gym as a front desk clerk, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. But, you know, I was in the restroom one day cleaning up the bathroom, and because that's where, well, that was one of my job duties, right? It was to go in at the end of the night and clean up the restroom. And I happened to be in there one day. And this woman that had come into the gym quite frequently, she and I had started to talk, and she started to understand a little bit about me and who I was and, you know, why I was working there. And I knew a little bit about her. And turns out she was a social worker, so she understood, you know, I had my degree in psychology and all of that. And I'll never forget the day I was cleaning out the trash receptacles in the restroom itself, in the stalls. And she said to me, Lisa, she said, what are you doing? And I kind of stopped and I just looked at her and I said, well, I'm cleaning up the bathroom. What does it look like I'm doing? And she looked at me again and she said, no, what are you doing? And again, me taking it at face value, I said, I'm cleaning the bathrooms. What? I don't understand. Like, what does it look like I'm doing, you know? And then she looked at me with like this piercing gaze, you know, these piercing eyes. And she said to me, I'm not talking about right now. She said, I'm talking about your life. What are you doing with your life? And I was like, whoa. I just looked at her. And I said, oh, that's what you mean. What am I doing with my life? And that day really set into motion my journey towards regaining my self-confidence and regaining my self-worth and changing my mindset and shifting my life in ways that were unimaginable. And for the first time in almost 2.5 years, because it had been about 2 years since the car accident, so about 2 years plus, I sat in the car that day and I looked in the mirror and I said, she's right. What am I doing with my life? I was working again. It was like a dollar above minimum wage, you know, nights and weekends. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't an ideal job. And it certainly, again, it wasn't where I was meant to shine. And so her words really stuck with me. And I couldn't let them go. I just couldn't. So I just decided in that moment I was going to make a huge shift in my life. And I was going to change everything. And it was scary. It was scary as hell. But I knew that, number one, I would be okay because I'm a strong believer that God will light the way if I decide on a particular path, and that's the right path. He'll show me the way. And I just made a bunch of life decisions right at that moment. And I said, okay, I've got to really get my stuff together. I've got to get a professional job of some sort. I've got all these degrees, all this education, and I'm wasting it. And that's what I did. I literally did an entire life shift. At that time, I mean, I was a night owl. I would go to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I would get up at like 11 a.m. I would, you know, because I was working nights and weekends, so I was used to everything happening late. You know, I would get home late from the gym. I would get home late from whatever job I had. And I mean, so I had to change everything. I had to change my sleeping patterns, my eating habits. Well, not habits. I always ate healthy, but I had to change my eating patterns, like everything. And it was scary. It was real scary. And then I started putting together resumes and putting them out to schools. And it was like within like a 3 month period almost, I did this entire 180 where I went from working part-time as a, you know, gym, you know, membership clerk to then having interviews in public school and work, you know, and interviewing for full-time positions, which is essentially what I did get. Actually was offered several positions and actually took one of them because, you know, the offer they gave me. And that was sort of the end of me spinning my wheels and constantly trying to figure out who I was and what I was doing and how. And, you know, so all of that stuff just melted away, like all my fears, all my lack of confidence, all of my self-sabotaging thoughts and behaviors, they all just dissipated because I made that decision. And I knew that I would be supported the entire way. And I was. I was by my higher power. I was by my family. I was by friends. And it was pretty incredible. I look back on it now and I'm like, you know, that was a transformative journey. And, you know, even then, so I did take a job in a school and I enjoyed what I was doing. I did truly enjoy it. The only thing is I had to have surgery in January of 2014 on my shoulder that I had injured 2-3 years previous in the car accident. And again, I was left with, oh no, now what? What am I going to do? Because the shoulder surgery didn't go as I'd expected. So I wound up leaving that job, and this is how I actually did become a coach. But that was really the breaking moment for me and the transformation that was about to take place. It started right there in that moment, in that bathroom, in that locker room, at that gym.
Very powerful. And that's why I do what I do. Listeners, my dear friends, that's why I bring the stories of these powerful leaders to you. And know that each and every one of us, including myself, I'll share a story about myself as well. And as we have seen from Lisa Marie's story, that she went through a turmoil. She went through a really rough period in a lifetime. And yet, a one word from someone brought a tremendous change where it was just someone showing you the mirror. And you then took the power in your hands, you owned it, and you moved it forward. It was a life-changing moment, and it is so... Life-changing moments can bring transformations that last lifetimes. And it happens. You're going to have people who are going to be naysayers. And I've had a few of those in my life. And when you have naysayers in your life, you do start doubting yourself. And it brings the pain to you because these are the people you're seeking the approval from. So what I found was that rather than resisting the pain that you feel, the key is to experience it. And knowing that the power exists within us, regardless of what anybody else says, because we have the power, we have the trust, And rather than playing small, rather than letting the fear, lack of clarity, and self-doubts plague us, the key is to have faith in the spiritual power, whether it's your own spiritual power, in the collective force, or in God, as Lisa Marie said. Regardless who it is, having that trust, it's about getting out of there, wherever you're stuck, and moving forward, taking a step. So Lisa Marino, you overcame a tremendous amount of self-struggle. And yes, the lady talked to you in that bathroom. You decided to move forward. Yet it was you who did all the work. What would you attribute your success that helped you move from one point to the other point in your life?
Honestly, it was trust. It was trusting first and foremost God, and then trusting myself that I knew I would be able to do it. And I was so determined to do it that there, I knew deep within my heart and my soul that I just had this unshakable faith in God and then in myself that I could do it, that I was going to do it, that I am doing it. And was it scary? Yes. Yes, absolutely. A change can be very frightening. And I don't ever minimize that, because it can be very overwhelming and scary, especially for someone like me who was so used to, even though I didn't have quote unquote the regular routine down, my routine was still my routine, right? So that was essentially, you know, that's what I stuck to, and that's what was comfortable for me. So going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning felt comfortable to me. Then all of a sudden I had to get up at 6 a.m. like, you know, like the other half of the world who works, you know, a regular job. And, you know, again, it just came back down to knowing and knowing and knowing and knowing that I was going to be okay, that I would have just enough light for the step I was going to be on. And that's it was just trust and faith.
Very profound and very powerful. And I know that if Lisa Marie and I can do it, you can do it. It's about standing still in that pain or in that overwhelm, in that stuck, and just breathe through it and let go of the judgment. We judge ourselves way too harshly. You are way too powerful. You have a gift that the world is waiting for. So let go of that and know that fear is not going to kill any one of us. Failure is not going to hold us back. And doubt is, again, something that is just a feeling. That's what's happening in the brain. And I'd like to share a little bit about how our brain works. Because sometimes here we are pounding ourselves to the ground that I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing that right. And let me share what happens. Usually based on our previous experiences, brain stores the memory in our memory storage centers. And then something new comes up. We go into our memory centers and pull out and relate to what's going to happen in the new event. And usually, if the new situation seems threatening, our fear centers light up and they prevent us from moving forward. So it is of utmost importance to step out of the comfort zone, to shatter that status quo, and move towards the wonderful you are. And Lisa Marie, from what you have said, trust and faith and determination, these are some of the key elements that you have experienced. Would you like to share how do you help your clients, and if you have a short story to tell, how did they overcome their struggles?
Sure, absolutely. So, like I've said before, the two main areas that I focus in on are developing confidence and then setting up online visibility strategies, right? Those are the two things that my clients and I work on specifically. But I have to say, anyone can learn how to strategize or, you know, strategically do something or, you know, redo a program or redo a, you know, a template of any kind. But having the confidence is by far the most important piece in anything, in life, in business, in work, in your relationships, in your home life, in your, you know, friendships, everything. Confidence is really the key. And the reason being is that regardless of how successful you are, regardless of what you've been able to achieve, using my own story as an example of that, right? Regardless, it didn't matter that I had two master's degrees. I mean, I didn't feel confident. So confidence is definitely the key. And that's first and foremost where I start with all of my clients. And I make sure that if they're struggling in that department, we start there first. And of course, you know, all of us struggle from time to time with things of, you know, when it comes to feeling confident. And it could be many different things. It could be, a new parent who's not confident that they're going to be a good parent. I mean, it just comes up in our lives, you know. And so whenever I work with someone, again, we get their confidence in, you know, in check right away. So if they're not confident and, you know, they've revealed this to me either in, you know, our questionnaires or, you know, in a phone call or during an intake session, there's a couple of things that I like to do with them. One of the activities that I find to be very, very helpful, and I've actually done this as a social media challenge, and it's actually been really beneficial for a lot of women from what they've told me, is I'll have them make a list of all of their fears, whether they're real or not, or, you know, imaginary, whatever they are. I'll have them make a list of them. And then what I also make them do is take another piece of paper and write down on there a list of people who have had an influence in their life in a negative way, right? So, for example, if I have the fear or I'm not confident about my body, for example, I'll give you an example, and this is true for me. This is what happened to me at one point in my life when I was much younger. I had a lot of body shame, you know, around myself. I was a little bit heavier when I was like a, you know, teenager, and I was playing basketball at the time for my school, and I had a coach who was really, really unkind to me, and would mock me and make fun of me and call me, you know, names and all of that. So of
really?
Course I developed, yeah, that's
and
that's
this is a coach we are talking about.
Yeah, people in positions of authority aren't always as, you know, as motivating and inspirational as we would like them to be. And again, I had to learn from that as I got older, and I had to work through some stuff. But you can imagine as a young girl, you know, being told you're fat and everything, and it didn't, you know, resonate well with me. So, of course, I developed, and I'm being kind when I say that. They were not kind. They said really horrible things to myself and to other people as well on the team. And of course, that doesn't do a lot for your self-esteem, especially being a young, you know, a young teenager. And so as I was entering my college years, I struggled a lot with body image. And thankfully, by the grace of God, have sort of worked through that and overcome that and, you know, haven't really had to look back on that. But I use that as an example because I know that's an issue for a lot of people. So that's So I would write that down. I'd say, let's say one of my statements is, you know, I'm not attractive because I'm fat. I'm just going to put that out there hypothetically. So that's just a fear that somebody has, right? So they make their list of fears, whatever they are. And then on the other paper, they have their list of people, whoever it was that came into their life at some point who had a negative impact. And then what I do is I have them actually match up the statements with the person who may have impacted that. So for me, on my list, I would have had, you know, a basketball coach, and then I would have had, you know, a couple of other people down there that also had an influence on me in a negative way of some kind. But then I would pair it, right? So my basketball coach gets paired directly with, you know, I don't like my body and I'm, you know, not good enough because I'm fat, or nobody will think I'm attractive because I'm fat. So I pair those two together. And then what I have them do is literally recite, it's actually a prayer of forgiveness. You may or may not be aware of it, but I'll tell you what it is. It's the, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it correctly. So let me, hold on one second so I can pull it up, because this is a really powerful exercise and I don't want to butcher the name of it, because it's in Hawaiian. Okay, so it's the Ho'oponopono prayer, right? And essentially what you do, you don't have to be religious to believe in this particular thing. This is just something that originated in Hawaii, and it's been used a lot in coaching and counseling and therapy and everything. So then I would have them literally go through that list of people and have them recite the following. It's called Ho'oponopono prayer of forgiveness over that list. And it simply is, you know, it's a very short verse, very, very short verse. And it has a very powerful energetic connotation to it. It's real simple. So as they're going through their list, this is what they would say. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And so in forgiving the people who have inflicted the hurt and the harm and the trauma and all of that, in forgiving them, you're also forgiving yourself, right? Because even though that person may have said that to me, or even though that person may have done this to me, or my boss may have done this, or my husband may have done that, or my, you can go and fill in all the blanks, right? We've all been wounded in some way or another. But at some point, we have to take responsibility for who we're going to be and who we are going to allow to control us or not control us anymore. And so it's really powerful in that way, because again, like I said, as you're forgiving them, you're also forgiving yourself for allowing that person to take that kind of control over you. So just because my coach told me that I was fat and, you know, a bunch of other expletive words, I then internalized it and felt really unworthy and unattractive for several years during my early adulthood, all because of what that one coach said to me. Didn't matter that hundreds of other people would tell me I looked pretty and all this. It didn't matter. I allowed those words to stick with me. And so I sort of played into that. So this Hawaiian, you know, it's a meditation prayer. It's been called a bunch of different things, but I've done it now in a group coaching program that I was a part of and found it to be very, very powerful. So then I then taught it to some of my clients and they thought it was phenomenal. But then I take it a step further with them. Once they've done it and they've said the prayer or the meditation over that list, I literally have them take their list of fears and burn them, physically burn them, like take a match to them, take a lighter to them, put them outside, put it in the fireplace and let it burn. let it burn. So you're literally wiping your slate clean, and it's very powerful. And that's just one of the exercises or activities that I do with women who I work with. And I know that for some of them, it's been very, very powerful. Because again, all it takes is one, one nasty negative comment or something, and it really can impact somebody's life. Just as one powerful positive comment can, so too can a very negative comment. And in that way, as we forgive others, we forgive ourselves, and we're ready to move forward. It's a clean slate. And that's really, that is one of the pieces that I use, and my clients love it. I've had a lot of feedback from it. When I was doing it as a social media challenge, I had tons of women who were actually showing me pictures and videos of themselves burning their list. And it's really powerful. So that's one of the areas that I really love working on, is that confidence piece.
That's a very fantastic and powerful exercise. It's not only recognizing your fears, seeing who has caused it, and then forgiving them. Because in forgiveness, what you're doing is you're teaching them to move beyond their story. So when somebody tells you, and Lisa Marie, that is so true when you say that, that when the coach told you, you internalized it, and you made that to be your own story. So rather than taking what somebody tells you to let it become your own story, burn your fears. That is really great. Burn your fears, wipe the slate clean, and start anew. And make your own story. Be the writer of your own life. And say, what's my story going to be? I'm the writer, I'm the director, and I'm the actor. Mm-hmm. And when somebody is projecting their thoughts by insulting you or by saying something negative to you, it's not about you. It's what they're projecting is about their own feelings, about what they're dissatisfied with. And another thing that was great, what you said, is about forgiveness. Because when you're forgiving, you're doing it for yourself. It's not for the other person. Because think about it. It's not about the weight of negativity. It's about how long you carry it. And the longer you carry it, the longer it corrodes our spirit, health, body, mind, everything. And when you burn it and when you move beyond it, you're stepping out of the zone. So that exercise was great, and I'm sure you have some more exercises coming through. So what's next in the pipeline, Lisa Marie?
Yeah, so I'm actually really excited right now because I am on the verge of launching my very first hybrid coaching program called Time to Shine Online. And that will be kicking off the week. The actual program begins the week of July 25th, but I will be announcing the official launch to my community and to my list on July 8th, so on Friday. Everything will be all set and ready to go, and it's going to be an amazing experience. Very quickly, it's just, I'll give you a summary of it. It's a 6-week coaching program that involves both individual one-on-one time with me, as well as group coaching calls. And during those 6 weeks, the 12 women that I'm going to be working with, we are going to cover 3 main areas. And the first will be confidence, developing a confident mindset, how to, flip the switch and basically, just slay your inner demons, your little, whatever they are inside that's going on telling you why you can't do it. We're going to do a lot of emphasis on that in the first couple of weeks. The following 2 weeks is all going to be about online visibility strategy. How do you show up? What do you do? Where do you go? All those things. And then the final pieces of that, we're going to do a lot of social media more specifically, like different platforms, go in and, you know, actually work through several different ones. So I'm really super excited about it. In fact, I'm so excited that I've reached out privately to a few people that I've had connections with over the last year and a half or so, and I've already had 3 women sign up. So now that only leaves 9 spots open, and I'm sure that the program will sell out to capacity because it's just jam-packed full of amazing things, and this is my chance to make a bigger impact and be able to spread my message a little bit more broadly. And so I'm very, very excited. Again, the program is called Time to Shine Online. And myself and my VA, and we're working around the clock at this point. Not really. We do take breaks to sleep and eat and all that. But we've been working pretty diligently to get everything together for it. So that'll be really exciting, and that should be coming out at the end of the week.
Congratulations, Lisa Marie. I'm super excited, too.
Thank you.
I am sure it's going to be a fantastic program, and women will be learning a lot, and they will benefit a lot. And as you said, only 9 more spots are left, and I'm sure they're going to go pretty fast.
Yeah.
It is excellent, and it's very, very exciting.
Thank you.
And
that's what we're working on right now.
So let's say if listeners were interested in this program and wanted to mm-hmm. find out more about it, where they can go on website or how they can reach you to find out more about it.
Sure, absolutely. So right now, because of where we're at just in terms of time and space, one of the best ways to get in contact with me in general, if you are interested in, you know, talking about how I could perhaps help you in your business, or if you're interested in this particular program, which is also priced at a beta rate, so it's going to be significantly less because this is the first time I'm running it. But if you want to get in touch with me at all right now, the best way to do that is either to email me. And you can email me at Lisa, L-I-S-A, at positivetransformation.net. That is the name of my website. It's positivetransformation.net. Another way to get in touch with me perhaps even quicker than that is to go to Facebook. If you are on Facebook, go to Facebook and input my entire name, Lisa Marie Pepe, that's P-E-P-E, and shoot me a quick message through there. I'm on and off all day on Messenger, and I'm happy to get back to anyone. I'm happy to discuss the ins and outs of the program, and that would be the best way to do it. So either email Lisa at positivetransformation.net or look me up on Facebook. I'm pretty much all over there. So you can find me very easily.
Oh, I can attest to that. And you will find some great stuff from Lisa Marie on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Lisa Marie, you have shared a lot of great value with her listeners. As an entrepreneur and as a woman who has morphed her life into something beautiful, what are the 3 top things you would tell our listeners that they can take those and go put that 3 things in their lives?
Okay, first and foremost, if you have a negative perception of yourself or of your life or anything that's going on, first and foremost, that's got to go. So if you need to get help, get help. If you need to get the assistance of a coach, get a coach. If you need a therapist, get a therapist. If you are not feeling good about yourself, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you need to work on that first. First and foremost, it has to come first, because eventually, if you continue to even do things successfully, that stuff is still going to be there and it will catch up to you. So that has to get in check first. Your mindset has to be in a good place. Secondly, I would say whatever it is that you truly want, don't be afraid to go after it because you're afraid you might fail or because you're afraid it might not work. The only way to know if it'll ever work is to try, and that's all that you can do. So that's number two. Three, I would say, is if you are truly passionate about number two, find a way to rework it and keep doing that until you find a way that it'll work. So, you know, I can't really say it any differently than that. It's got to be the mindset piece. It's got to be, you know, what do you really want in life? And it's got to be an all-out effort to go after it and not be afraid of failing, not be afraid of what people are going to say, not being afraid of what, you know, others are going to think of you because you choose a particular path for yourself, as long as it's, you know, a healthy one, of course, and it doesn't inflict any, you know, hurt or harm upon anybody else. It's your life. You can do what you please with it. And don't be afraid to go after what you want. So those are my three.
Yeah, fantastic. And listeners, I would love to thank Lisa Marie on your behalf and my behalf for spending this hour with us and sharing her wisdom so that we all can learn from each other and move beyond where we are, moving beyond confidence, going into the realms that we have never explored before, and stepping into that success zone that is uniquely you. And thank you again for joining us. Thank you so much, Lisa Marie.
You're welcome.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your Beyond Confidence radio show host. I'm so delighted to be with you again, and I am bringing you my friend and a great coach, Lisa Marie Pepe. She is a confidence coach and an online visibility coach. So Lisa Marie, please share about yourself.
Well, first off, thank you so much, Divya, for inviting me to be on your show. And thank you to the listeners as well. So just a little bit about me. I tapped into it just a bit when you introduced me. My name is Lisa Marie Pepe, and I am the confidence coach and online visibility expert for heart-centered women entrepreneurs. So essentially what I do in my coaching practice is I combine my experience and expertise in clinical psychology with my love and passion for social media and online visibility strategy to then empower the women that I work with to develop rock-solid confidence and to become vibrantly visible online. And I've been doing this now for about 2 years, and I absolutely love it. I truly do. I love everything about being able to be the light or the spark in another woman's life who's trying to get her online business up and running, and it's just a very rewarding and very, very fulfilling path that I'm on right now. So I'm incredibly blessed to be here as well. Thank you.
So this brings the question, what is it that made you decide to become a coach?
That's a great question. For me, I've always wanted to be in the helping professions. It's just part of like who I am as a person. It's in my nature. It's always been there. And after graduating college, I got my master's degree in education and worked very briefly in the public school systems, but didn't feel quite right, you know, in that sort of particular arena. So then I went on and got a master's degree in clinical psychology. And I worked briefly for a time, but I was doing some real, real heavy, heavy work. And that was in alcohol and drug detox counseling and trauma and, you know, some real heavy stuff. And I got a bit burnt out from that and decided that I wanted to pursue a degree in massage therapy. And it was still a part of the helping field, and I was able to do it in a different way, though. So I got my license to practice massage therapy, and was doing that for a couple of years when I had a car accident one day on the way home from work, and I was not able to go back to massage therapy, not then, not now, and that accident happened in 2011. Certainly changed my entire life. Now that I can look back on it, I can say for the better because of who I am and where I am as a coach right now. But that was sort of the driving force behind all of it. I had to recreate and reinvent myself after I can no longer work in a quote unquote, you know, normal job. So that's how I actually became a coach. At some point I said, okay, I've got to use my skills. I have these, you know, gifts and talents, and they're not being utilized. And so there you have it.
Yes, coaching is rewarding. And what you said, Lisa Marie, resonates so much within my heart as well, because when you coach someone, when you help someone, when you make a positive impact, it doesn't just have to be coaching. It can be helping somebody in your family. It could be helping someone who is your neighbor, part of the community. And when you help mm-hmm. someone, it does make you feel good. And there are mm-hmm. scientific studies out there that show that kindness has impact at the cellular level. And
mm-hmm, absolutely.
mm-hmm. So talking about coaching, you have said that, you know, you really enjoy coaching heart-centered entrepreneurs. What is it about heart-centered entrepreneurs that attracts you?
Well, I think essentially, and I don't know if this is true for you, but at least for myself and some others that I've talked with, as a coach, our ideal clients are really a former version of ourselves. That's what I feel as though. I work with women now who are just beginning their online entrepreneurial journey, and I was there just a few years ago, right? So now I've now mastered certain skills and certain levels of, you know, experience, and now I teach them to other people. But for me, heart-centered means someone who is willing to tap into their unique gifts and talents to make the world a better place in some way, shape, or form. So oftentimes, you know, I work with women who are in the healing field. They're not all coaches necessarily. They can be, but they're not all. I work with, you know, I have a client now who is a nurse practitioner who's starting her own practice. So she left a hospital because she didn't want to deal with the politics of the hospital, and has decided to open her own practice to make it more affordable for more women and to include like holistic care. So, you know, it's funny. I've worked with women in a lot of different sectors and areas, and it's just heart-centered, someone who wants to make the world a better place and is willing, like I said, to tap into their unique gifts and talents to be able to then do that. Oftentimes, the women are spiritual. They are, connected to a higher power of some kind. I know for me, it's God, but for others, they call, you know, whatever their higher power is, and that's fine. It's not like a prerequisite to work with me, but I certainly love working with women who are sort of on the same mission that I am.
And that definitely makes sense, Lisa Marie, when you say that these are people who don't want to deal with the politics because they are recognizing the unique strength within. And it is mm-hmm. so true. Once we get out of our way, mm-hmm. transformation happens. And yes, when transformation happens, the life is so changing. And then you can bring your gift to the world and help other people. And in today's world, there's so many people waiting out there to help. And that is fantastic what you're doing.
Thank you.
How did you go about developing your niche?
That is that's a great question. And I just had this conversation with a business contact earlier this morning. We were talking about how really do you fall into a particular niche, right? Because what I do is very specific. I work with women on mindset, and I work with women on online visibility strategy. Like, those are the two things that I focus on. Certainly I can do other things, but that's my niche, right? Like, that's exactly where my zone of genius is. And for me, it was definitely an evolutionary process. It didn't just happen. When I started on the entrepreneurial journey, I was actually intending to go into wellness coaching, and that's sort of where I was there for quite some time, but I wasn't really feeling, for me, it's about feeling like connection between my heart, my mind, my body, my spirit, all of that. It all has to sort of feel right. And I just wasn't feeling all of that. And so this was very early on when I first started, about 2.5 years ago. And then I wasn't gaining a lot of traction. And that's partially because I just wasn't sure about where I wanted to go and who I wanted to serve. So I worked with a coach to sort of help me narrow in a little bit more on, the more specific area, and confidence sort of came naturally because I myself have overcome, battles with myself not feeling confident, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy and all of that. So that developed into the confidence piece of it. And then I have just naturally, in becoming an online entrepreneur, absorbed so much critical and valuable information in how to do things online as a business owner, that second half of it just came sort of like organically. It was like, okay, so I can do confidence coaching and visibility strategy, right? And online, social media presence, that kind of thing. So that's essentially what happened, but it was about 2.5 years in the making. And so that's where I'm currently at. And I'm always open to learning and doing, so who knows where I'll be in another 2 years or 3 years. But right now, that's where the path has taken me.
Lisa Marie, every one of us goes through depths of pain and chasms of discomfort to be able to find what is really important in our life. And from what it sounds like, and of course, as I know, you have been through a lot. Would you be open to sharing a story through your journey where you were feeling lack of confidence and how you went from lack of confidence to being confident?
Yeah, absolutely. I am more than happy to share, because I feel like in sharing my story, I can help empower other people to know that they're not alone, that they're certainly... there is light at the end of the tunnel. And so if my journey and my story can help other people see that, then I'm more than happy to share. I'll go back to where sort of it all sort of unraveled for me, which was when I had my car accident. At that time, I was actually feeling pretty good about my life in general. I really loved massage therapy. I was very active at the time, just really loved everything that was a part of my life, right? It's just, I just got up naturally, went to work, went to the gym, everything felt really good. And then when the car accident happened, it really threw me off badly, like physically, emotionally, spiritually, like everything. It wasn't just like a minor whiplash here and a little bit of this, and then I was fine. It really knocked me down. And I then became very depressed, and, along with the depression comes anxiety, and, it's a vicious cycle. And so what happened when I wasn't able to return to work, I just felt really lost, and because my confidence was so shaken at that time, I settled for really mundane, task-oriented jobs that were not fulfilling in any capacity whatsoever. You know, jobs where I was not being treated kindly by my boss or anyone else, but for that matter, who I worked with, jobs that were paying me minimum wage. And this is despite having two master's degrees, despite having a wealth of knowledge, I didn't feel good about myself. And my decisions at that time reflected that. And I took a job as a telemarketer. I tell this story often because it's the truth. I was, I don't know, about 32 years old at the time when the car accident happened. And like I said, well-educated, you know, ton of accolades, accreditations, all this stuff. And it didn't matter. I didn't see my own self-worth. And so whatever came along, I just took. And I took a job for like $9 an hour where I was mistreated. I was berated on the phone. And all that did was reinforce for me how badly I already felt about myself. And that was coupled with the shoulder and neck injury that I had gotten in the car accident, which was also an ongoing battle for quite some time. And I actually got fired from my telemarketing job. And I'll never forget, I sat in the car and I cried and I sobbed like a baby because I felt like it was the end of the world. And here I was, I mean, literally, right? I can look back on it now and laugh and think like, well, you did me a favor, really, because, you know, obviously, like, that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing with my life. But when I got fired at that time, you know, I felt really beside myself. And I got back on the horse and just started looking for jobs again. Mind you, not even ever considering going back into teaching or psychology or therapy or anything like that. I just thought, okay, well, I'll just get another job. And I wound up working at a gym as a front desk clerk, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. But, you know, I was in the restroom one day cleaning up the bathroom, and because that's where, well, that was one of my job duties, right? It was to go in at the end of the night and clean up the restroom. And I happened to be in there one day, and this woman that had come into the gym quite frequently, she and I had started to talk, and she started to understand a little bit about me and who I was and, you know, why I was working there. And I knew a little bit about her, and turns out she was a social worker. So she understood, you know, I had my degree in psychology and all of that. And I'll never forget the day I was cleaning out the trash receptacles in the restroom itself, in the stalls. And she said to me, Lisa, she said, what are you doing? And I kind of stopped and I just looked at her and I said, well, I'm cleaning up the bathroom. What does it look like I'm doing? And she looked at me again and she said, no, what are you doing? And again, me taking it at face value, I said, I'm cleaning the bathrooms. What? I don't understand. Like, what does it look like I'm doing, you know? And then she looked at me with like this piercing gaze, you know, these piercing eyes. And she said to me, I'm not talking about right now. She said, I'm talking about your life. What are you doing with your life? And I was like, whoa. I just looked at her. And I said, oh, that's what you mean. What am I doing with my life? And that day really set into motion my journey towards regaining my self-confidence and regaining my self-worth and changing my mindset and shifting my life in ways that were unimaginable. And for the first time in almost 2.5 years, because it had been about 2 years since the car accident, so about 2 years plus, I sat in the car that day and I looked in the mirror and I said, she's right. What am I doing with my life? I was working again. It was like a dollar above minimum wage, you know, nights and weekends. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't an ideal job. And it certainly, again, it wasn't where I was meant to shine. And so her words really stuck with me, and I couldn't let them go. I just couldn't. So I just decided in that moment I was going to make a huge shift in my life, and I was going to change everything. And it was scary. It was scary as hell. But I knew that, number one, I would be okay, because I'm a strong, strong believer that God will light the way. If I decide on a particular path and that's the right path, he'll show me the way. And I just made a bunch of life decisions right at that moment. And I said, okay, I've got to really get my stuff together. I've got to get a professional job of some sort. I've got all these degrees, all this education, and I'm wasting it. And that's what I did. I literally did an entire life shift. At that time, I mean, I was a night owl. I would go to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I would get up at like 11 a.m. I would, you know, because I was working nights and weekends, so I was used to everything happening late. You know, I would get home late from the gym. I would get home late from whatever job I had. And I mean, so I had to change everything. I had to change my sleeping patterns, my eating habits. Well, not habits. I always ate healthy, but I had to change my eating patterns, like everything. And it was scary. It was real scary. And then I started putting together resumes and putting them out to schools. And it was like within like a 3 month period almost, I did this entire 180 where I went from working part-time as a, you know, gym, you know, membership clerk to then having interviews in public schools and work, you know, and interviewing for full-time positions. Which is essentially what I did get. Actually was offered several positions, and actually took one of them because, you know, the offer they gave me. And that was sort of the end of me spinning my wheels and constantly trying to figure out who I was and what I was doing and how. And you know, so all of that stuff just melted away, like all my fears, all my lack of confidence, all of my self-sabotaging thoughts and behaviors, they all just dissipated because I made that decision. And I knew that I would be supported the entire way. And I was. I was by my higher power. I was by my family. I was by friends. And it was pretty incredible. I look back on it now and I'm like, you know, that was a transformative journey. And, you know, even then, so I did take a job in a school, and I enjoyed what I was doing. I did truly enjoy it. The only thing is I had to have surgery in January of 2014 on my shoulder that I had injured 2-3 years previous in the car accident. And again, I was left with, oh no, now what? What am I going to do? Because the shoulder surgery didn't go as I'd expected. So I wound up leaving that job, and this is how I actually did become a coach. But that was really the breaking moment for me and the transformation that was about to take place. It started right there in that moment, in that bathroom, in that locker room, at that gym.
Very powerful. And that's why I do what I do. Listeners, my dear friends, that's why I bring the stories of these powerful leaders to you. And know that each and every one of us, including myself, I'll share a story about myself as well. And as we have seen from Lisa Marie's story, that she went through a turmoil. She went through a really rough period in a lifetime. And yet, a one word from someone brought a tremendous change where it was just someone showing you the mirror, and you then took the power in your hands, you owned it, and you moved it forward. It was a life-changing moment, and it is so life-changing moments can bring transformations that last lifetimes. And it happens. You're going to have people who are going to be naysayers. And I've had a few of those in my life. And then you have naysayers in your life, you do start doubting yourself. And it brings the pain to you because these are the people you're seeking the approval from. So what I found was that rather than resisting the pain that you feel, the key is to experience it. Mm-hmm. And knowing that the power exists within us, regardless of what anybody else says, because we have the power, we have the trust. And rather than playing small, rather than letting the fear, lack of clarity, and self-doubts plague us, the key is to have faith in the spiritual power, whether it's your own spiritual power, in the collective force, or in God, as Lisa Marie said, regardless who it is, having that trust, it's about getting out of there, wherever you're stuck, and moving forward, taking a step. So Lisa Marie, you know, you overcame a tremendous amount of self-struggle. And yes, the lady talked to you in that bathroom. You decided to move forward. Yet it was you who did all the work. What would you attribute your success that helped you move from one point to the other point in your life?
Honestly, it was trust. It was trusting first and foremost God, and then trusting myself that I knew I would be able to do it. And I was so determined to do it that there I knew deep within my heart and my soul that I just had this unshakable faith in God and then in myself that I could do it, that I was going to do it, that I am doing it. And was it scary? Yes. Yes, absolutely. A change can be very frightening. And I don't ever minimize that because it can be very overwhelming and scary, especially for someone like me who was so used to, even though I didn't have quote unquote the regular routine down, my routine was still my routine, right? So that was essentially, you know, that's what I stuck to, and that's what was comfortable for me. So going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning felt comfortable to me. Then all of a sudden I had to get up at 6 a.m. like, you know, the other half of the world who works, you know, a regular job. And, you know, again, it just came back down to knowing and knowing and knowing and knowing that I was going to be okay, that I would have just enough light for the step I was going to be on. And that's exactly, it was just trust and faith.
Very profound and very powerful. And I know that if Lisa Marie and I can do it, you can do it. It's about standing still in that pain or in that overwhelm, in that stuck, and just breathe through it and let go of the judgment. We judge ourselves way too harshly. You are way too powerful. You have a gift that the world is waiting for. So let go of that and know that fear is not going to kill any one of us. Failure is not going to hold us back. And doubt is, again, something that is just a feeling. That's what's happening in the brain. And I'd like to share a little bit about how our brain works. Because sometimes here we are pounding ourselves to the ground that I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing that right. And let me share what happens. Usually based on our previous experiences, brain stores the memory in our memory storage centers. And then something new comes up. we go into our memory centers and pull out and relate to what's going to happen in the new event. And usually, if the new situation seems threatening, our fear centers light up and they prevent us from moving forward. So it is of utmost importance to step out of the comfort zone, to shatter that status quo, and move towards the wonderful you are. And Lisa Marie, from what you have said, trust and faith and determination, these are some of the key elements that you have experienced. Would you like to share how do you help your clients, and if you have a short story to tell, how did they overcome their struggles?
Sure, absolutely. So, like I've said before, the two main areas that I focus in on are developing confidence and then setting up online visibility strategies, right? Those are the two things that my clients and I work on specifically. But I have to say, anyone can learn how to strategize or, you know, strategically do something or, you know, redo a program or redo a, you know, a template of any kind. But having the confidence is by far the most important piece in any, in anything, in life, in business, in work, in your relationships, in your home life, in your, you know, friendships, everything. Confidence is really the key. And the reason being is that regardless of how successful you are, regardless of what you've been able to achieve, using my own story as an example of that, right? Regardless, it didn't matter that I had two master's degrees. I mean, I didn't feel confident. So confidence is definitely the key. And that's first and foremost where I start with all of my clients. And I make sure that if they're struggling in that department, we start there first. And of course, you know, all of us struggle from time to time with things of, you know, when it comes to feeling confident. And it could be many different things. It could be, you know, a new parent who's not confident that they're going to be a good parent. I mean, it just comes up in our lives, you know. And so whenever I work with someone, again, we get their confidence in, you know, in check right away. So if they're not confident and, you know, they've revealed this to me either in, you know, our questionnaires or, you know, in a phone call or during an intake session, there's a couple of things that I like to do with them. One of the activities that I find to be very, very helpful, and I've actually done this as a social media challenge, and it's actually been really beneficial for a lot of women from what they've told me, is I'll have them make a list of all of their fears, whether they're real or not, or, you know, imaginary, whatever they are. I'll have them make a list of them. And then what I also make them do is take another piece of paper and write down on there a list of people who have had an influence in their life in a negative way, right? So, for example, if I have the fear or I'm not confident about my body, for example, I'll give you an example, and this is true for me. This is what happened to me at one point in my life when I was much younger. I had a lot of body shame, you know, around myself. I was a little bit heavier when I was like a, you know, teenager. And I was playing basketball at the time for my school, and I had a coach who was really, really unkind to me and would mock me and make fun of me and call me, you know, names and all of that. So, of
really?
Course, I developed – yeah, yeah.
And
that's
this is a coach we are talking about.
Yeah, yeah. People in positions of authority aren't always as you know, as motivating and inspirational as we would like them to be. And again, I had to learn from that as I got older and I had to work through some stuff. But you can imagine as a young girl, you know, being told you're fat and everything, and then it didn't, you know, resonate well with me. So, of course, I developed, and I'm being kind when I say that, they were not kind. They said really horrible things to myself and to other people as well on the team. And of course, that doesn't do a lot for your self-esteem, especially being a young, you know, a young teenager. And so as I was entering my college years, I struggled a lot with body image. And thankfully, by the grace of God, have sort of worked through that and overcome that and, you know, haven't really had to look back on that. But I use that as an example because I know that's an issue for a lot of people. So I would write that down. I'd say, let's say one of my statements is, you know, I'm not attractive because I'm fat. I'm just going to put that out there hypothetically. So that's just a fear that somebody has, right? So they make their list of fears, whatever they are. And then on the other paper, they have their list of people, whoever it was that came into their life at some point who had a negative impact. And then what I do is I have them actually match up the statements with the person who may have impacted that. So for me, on my list, I would have had, you know, a basketball coach, and then I would have had, you know, a couple of other people down there that also had an influence on me in a negative way of some kind. But then I would pair it, right? So my basketball coach gets paired directly with, you know, I don't like my body and I'm, you know, not good enough because I'm fat, or nobody will think I'm attractive because I'm fat. So I pair those two together. And then what I have them do is literally recite, it's actually a prayer of forgiveness. You may or may not be aware of it, but I'll tell you what it is. It's the, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it correctly. So let me, hold on one second so I can pull it up, because this is a really powerful exercise and I don't want to butcher the name of it because it's in Hawaiian. Okay, so it's the Ho'oponopono prayer, right? And essentially what you do, you don't have to be religious to believe in this particular thing. This is just something that originated in Hawaii and it's been used a lot in coaching and counseling and therapy and everything. So then I would have them literally go through that list of people and have them recite the following. It's called Ho'oponopono prayer of forgiveness over that list. And it simply is, you know, it's a very short verse, very, very short verse. And it has a very powerful, energetic connotation to it. It's real simple. So as they're going through their list, this is what they would say. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And so in forgiving the people who have inflicted the hurt and the harm and the trauma and all of that, in forgiving them, you're also forgiving yourself, right? Because even though that person may have said that to me, or even though that person may have done this to me, or my boss may have done this, or my husband may have done that, or my, you can go and fill in all the blanks, right? We've all been wounded in some way or another. But at some point, we have to take responsibility for who we're going to be and who we are going to allow to control us or not control us anymore. And so it's really powerful in that way because, again, like I said, as you're forgiving them, you're also forgiving yourself for allowing that person to take that kind of control over you. So just because my coach told me that I was fat and, you know, a bunch of other expletive words, I then internalized it and felt really unworthy and unattractive for several years during my early adulthood, all because of what that one coach said to me. It didn't matter that hundreds of other people would tell me I looked pretty and all this. It didn't matter. I allowed those words to stick with me. And so I sort of played into that. So this Hawaiian you know, it's a meditation prayer. It's been called a bunch of different things, but I've done it now in a group coaching program that I was a part of and found it to be very, very powerful. So then I then taught it to some of my clients and they thought it was phenomenal. But then I take it a step further with them. Once they've done it and they've said the prayer or the meditation over that list, I literally have them take their list of fears and burn them, physically burn them, like take a match to them, take a lighter to them, put them outside, put it in the fireplace and let it burn. Let it burn. So you're literally wiping your slate clean. And it's very powerful. And that's just one of the exercises or activities that I do with women who I work with. And I know that for some of them, it's been very, very powerful. Because again, all it takes is one, you know, one nasty negative comment or something, and it really can impact somebody's life. Just as one powerful positive comment can, so too can a very negative comment. And in that way, as we forgive others, we forgive ourselves, and we're ready to move forward. It's a clean slate. And that's really, that is one of the pieces that I use, and my clients love it. I've had a lot of feedback from it. When I was doing it as a social media challenge, I had tons of women who were actually showing me pictures and videos of themselves burning their list. And it's really powerful. So that's one of the areas that I really love working on, is that confidence piece.
That's a very fantastic and powerful exercise. It's not only recognizing your fears, seeing who has caused it, and then forgiving them. Because in forgiveness, what you're doing is you're teaching them to move beyond their story. So when somebody tells you, and Lisa Marie, that is so true when you say that, that when the coach told you, you internalized it, and you made that to be your own story. So rather than taking what somebody tells you to let it become your own story, burn your fears. That is really great. Burn your fears, wipe the slate clean, and start anew. And make your own story. Be the writer of your own life and say, mm-hmm. What's my story going to be? I'm the writer, I'm the director, and I'm the actor. Mm-hmm. And when somebody is projecting their thoughts by insulting you or by saying something negative to you, it's not about you. It's what they're projecting is about their own feelings, about mm-hmm. what they're dissatisfied with. And mm-hmm. another thing that was great, what you said, is about forgiveness. Because when you're forgiving, you're doing it for yourself. It's not for the other person. Because think about it. It's not about the weight of negativity. It's about how long you carry it. And the longer you carry it, the longer it corrodes our spirit, health, body, mind, everything. And when you burn it and when you move beyond it, you're stepping out of the zone. So that exercise was great, and I'm sure you have some more exercises coming through. So what's next in the pipeline, Lisa Marie?
Yeah, so I'm actually really excited right now because I am on the verge of launching my very first hybrid coaching program called Time to Shine Online, and that will be kicking off the actual program begins the week of July 25th, but I will be announcing the official launch to my community and to my list on July 8th, so on Friday. You know, everything will be all set and ready to go, and it's going to be an amazing experience. Very quickly, it's just, I'll give you a summary of it. It's a 6-week coaching program that involves both individual one-on-one time with me as well as group coaching calls. And during those 6 weeks, the 12 women that I'm going to be working with We are going to cover three main areas, and the first will be confidence, developing a confident mindset, how to, you know, flip the switch and basically, you know, just slay your inner, you know, inner demons, your little, you know, whatever they are inside that's going on telling you why you can't do it. We're going to do a lot of emphasis on that in the first couple of weeks. The following 2 weeks is all going to be about online visibility strategy. How, you know, how do you show up? What do you do? Where do you go? All those things. And then the final pieces of that, we're going to do a lot of social media, more specifically, like different platforms, go in and, you know, actually work through several different ones. So I'm really super excited about it. In fact, I'm so excited that I've reached out privately to a few people that I've had connections with over the last year and a half or so, and I've already had three women sign up. So now that only leaves 9 spots open, and I'm sure that the program will sell out to capacity because it's just jam-packed full of amazing things, and this is my chance to make a bigger impact and be able to spread my message a little bit more broadly. And so I'm very, very excited. Again, the program is called Time to Shine Online. And myself and my VA, and we're working around the clock at this point. Not really. We do take breaks to sleep and eat and all that. But we've been working pretty diligently to get everything together for it. So that'll be really exciting, and that should be coming out at the end of the week.
Congratulations, Lisa Marie. I'm super excited, too.
Thank you.
I am sure it's going to be a fantastic program, and women will be learning a lot, and they will benefit a lot. And as you said, only 9 more spots are left, and I'm sure they're going to go pretty fast.
Yeah.
It is excellent, and it's very, very exciting.
Thank you.
And
that's what we're working on right now.
So let's say if listeners were interested in this program and wanted to mm-hmm. find out more about it, where they can go on website or how they can reach you to find out more about it.
Sure, absolutely. So right now, because of where we're at just in terms of time and space, one of the best ways to get in contact with me in general, if you are interested in, you know, talking about how I could perhaps help you in your business, or if you're interested in this particular program, which is also priced at a beta rate, so it's going to be significantly less because this is the first time I'm running it. But if you want to get in touch with me at all right now, the best way to do that is either to email me. And you can email me at Lisa, L-I-S-A, at positivetransformation.net. That is the name of my website. It's positivetransformation.net. Another way to get in touch with me perhaps even quicker than that is to go to Facebook. If you are on Facebook, go to Facebook and input my entire name, Lisa Marie Pepe, that's P-E-P-E, and shoot me a quick message through there. I'm on and off all day on Messenger, and I'm happy to get back to anyone. I'm happy to discuss the ins and outs of the program, and that would be the best way to do it. So either email Lisa at positivetransformation.net or look me up on Facebook. I'm pretty much all over there. So you can find me very easily.
Oh, I can attest to that, and you will find some great stuff from Lisa Marie on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful stuff. Lisa Marie,
thank
you have
you.
Shared a lot of great value with our listeners. As an entrepreneur and as a woman who has morphed her life into something beautiful, what are the 3 top things you would tell our listeners that they can take those and go put that 3 things in their lives?
Okay, first and foremost, if you have a negative perception of yourself or of your life or anything that's going on, first and foremost, that's got to go. So if you need to get help, get help. If you need to get the assistance of a coach, get a coach. If you need a therapist, get a therapist. If you are not feeling good about yourself, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you need to work on that first. First and foremost, it has to come first, because eventually, if you continue to even do things successfully, that stuff is still going to be there and it will catch up to you. So that has to get in check first. Your mindset has to be in a good place. Secondly, I would say whatever it is that you truly want, don't be afraid to go after it because you're afraid you might fail or because you're afraid it might not work. The only way to know if it'll ever work is to try. And that's all that you can do. So that's number two. Three, I would say, is if you are truly passionate about number two, find a way to rework it and keep doing that until you find a way that it'll work. So, you know, I can't really say it any differently than that. It's got to be the mindset piece. It's got to be, you know, what do you really want in life? And it's got to be an all-out effort to go after it and not be afraid of failing, not be afraid of what people are going to say, not being afraid of what, you know, others are going to think of you because you choose a particular path for yourself, as long as it's, you know, a healthy one, of course, and it doesn't inflict any, you know, hurt or harm upon anybody else. It's your life. You can do what you please with it. And don't be afraid to go after what you want. So those are my three.
Yeah, fantastic. And Listeners, I would love to thank Lisa Marie on your behalf and my behalf for spending this hour with us and sharing her wisdom so that we all can learn from each other and move beyond where we are, moving beyond confidence, going into the realms that we have never explored before, and stepping into that success zone that is uniquely you. And thank you again for joining us. Thank you so much, Lisa Marie.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.